Good morning, ladies and gentlemen, and welcome to the Naked Englishman podcast. I'm Richard Vobes. This is the audio diary of my life behind the scenes of a YouTube creator on April the 29th of April. Tuesday, 29th of April. It's a glorious sunny morning this morning. It's absolutely fantastic. We are seeing a change, aren't we? I think since the government now have sort of said, oh yes, we've got to dim the sky, and we know they've already been doing it, of course, it's almost as if they have to prove that there is sun to be dimmed. So it's like, we better stop the dimming of the sky now to make out that there is actually sunshine, because otherwise people will say, why are you dimming the sky when the sky's already dim? So it's like they have to prove, do you know what I mean? So that may be what's going on. I don't know, of course I don't know. Did the cat go out? I can't remember if the cat went out. I don't know where the cat is. No, cat hasn't gone out because I haven't opened the back door yet. But it is rather wonderful outside. I'm just going to open this, let some air into the house. It was so nice when you can open the back door and step outside and it's not absolutely freezing cold. I'm just going to go in towards the van for a moment just to stand in the sunshine. And then I can update everybody with what's going on. Good morning. Another beautiful day.
Yeah.
Just a man with a bucket was walking past just then. Extraordinary. So I'm just standing. Actually, the van does need a clean. I might have to go and clean that today. It's covered in all sorts of muck where we've been travelling about. So that would be nice just to get that... get that clean. So what's been happening, you may be asking, in the last 24 hours? Well, let me update you, dear gentle listener. One very exciting thing happened yesterday. The postman came mid-morning and he had delivered the two books, the Biggleswick editor's copy, if you like, one for Julia, one for myself, in hardback. And I have to say, they do look very swish. They look very lovely, and I'm very thrilled. So that was it, really. I had no interviews. We had somebody coming over in the evening, which I'll tell you about shortly, a friend. Because of that, we were able to... Well, I was able to basically spend most of the day with a red pen going through all the grammar errors, the commas, the full stops in the wrong place, the spaces in the wrong place, capital letters missing from names, slight phrases not quite right. You know, there's hundreds of them, hundreds. Even though I've been through it once or twice, you know, before, you start seeing these glaring errors, and there will constantly be these. I'm not the world's greatest typist, I'm not the world's greatest grammarist, if that is a word. So, oh, there's a motorbike in the distance going off. So that's an interesting conundrum. That's an interesting task, is what I mean. So I was able to sit outside in the sunshine with my red pen going through it. And I managed to get as far as chapter one, which you might think, hang on, you had all day to do that. I was doing other things. There was emails to catch up with, of course. There were... videos to make and edit. I edited the craft video that we did down on wherever it is, Brockhurst, is it? Something like that, where the blacksmith and, Gaz and Keziah, who were artisan craftsmen, took us on the course, and hopefully people saw that on the video yesterday. It was fabulous. And my pipe stand, made from a tobacco leaf design out of copper, is on my coffee table, and it looks lovely, and it's full of pipes. So that was well worth it. So I had those to do. So although I only did one chapter, because nobody knows how long the chapter is, it might be a very, very long chapter, which is reasonably long. Anyway, so not only did I red pen it, but also typed up those onto the final manuscript and thought about spacing and, you know, all sorts of things. There's lots of things that you have to think about. Like, there's a prologue, and I want the prologue to appear on the page facing you as you open the cover, which happens to be an odd number. So that needed to be shifted around. You know, I'm starting to shift it round and lay it out, as well as correcting the grammar so that the next version will be very close to what it should be. So that's all that goes on. My neighbour going off to work. So that was that. And then we had a guest over, a chap called Ed, who is the chap who gave me the alloy wheels on my van. He's the chap who has the boat, the pipe dream that we've been on. His boat was stolen last year, and he managed now, I've got it back. But the guy who stole it had put it up for sale, and that's how he knew it. Somebody said, you know, your boat is up for sale. He said, what are you talking about? And then the police weren't. It was very weird. The whole situation was very, I mean, it's a fascinating story. The police weren't very much engaged and said, but I've had my boat stolen, this chap. And it was like, well, you need to prove it's yours. And he's got the original receipt and stuff, but it didn't seem that that was enough. But it's not like a car that you have a registration thing, although you are registered on the Canal and Rivers Trust. But yeah, fascinating business. Anyway, he's got it back now, and it's in a marina, and he's got to do a lot of work to it because the guy was started to strip things out, so he's now got to rebuild it. Anyway, he came over, we had some chips, and it was very lovely. Had a chat. He smokes a pipe, and he very generously bought me a tin of tobacco, which I'm debating now which one to feature in this week's pipe video. People are very nice. I've got quite a little selection of tobaccos to try, which will keep us going for a while, which is very nice. Keep us going on the samples. Some of them, and I had a chap called Terence sent me some little samples, you know, enough for two pipe bowls, I think, of two different types of tobacco, which was very generous of him. And so I can try that. I'll probably try that on the show next, because their reviewer who sent them in, and they'll be eager to see. So that's all good. And so there's a lot happening at the moment. I've got interviews, of course. More of those are coming up, although I'm trying to do less and less of those. Because Julia and I are very keen to get on our land. We've got a few contacts that we're still waiting for things to come to fruition. And it's such a patient game of waiting and hoping and materialising and pushing out into the universe, all this sort of stuff. But we do have a number of contacts, so it's all good. And, you know, a week ago, I wouldn't be looking down at these rather marvellous little things that we made. And it went through my mind that one could empty the shed at the back and turn it into a workshop so that both Julia and I could make stuff. Julia's working feverishly on her... I always stumble over the name. What do you call them? Essential oils. I keep wanting to call them innocent oils. In my head, I'm going, innocent oils, that's not right. What is the bloody term? Essential oils and, you know, the variations that you can get, because you can put them in burners, you can put them in roll-on pots and put them on for your skin. Different combinations of oils have different resonances for the healing and well-being. And Julie's very much taken with that, which is fantastic. And she's been testing them out and handing them to people who've given great feedback, which has been lovely. She just needs somewhere to set her stuff up so that she can blend and mix and all that, somewhere permanent, which is a bit difficult at home where she is, with the ex still hanging around and the kids bumbling about. And of course my house is very cluttered, but if we could clear out the shed. But then you see we have to be kind of pragmatic about this, because we could hear from our contacts about the farm potential and we'd be off. Although that will take 6 months to a year to get on site, because one would have to purchase a thing, go through the whole buying process. But you never know, you see. Sometimes these things can go very rapidly, depending on how quickly the seller wants the money. So, but then it's a question of how quickly we can get on there and what we've got to do on the particular piece of land, whether it's absolutely barren, and not barren as in just mud, but barren as in no buildings whatsoever, no house, you know. Then you've got to source all the other things. Water, where is your water coming from? Which is one of the big problems about getting on the land, because you need to have a good source of water. You can't just suddenly ask the local treatment works to put in a pipe, because that would cost tens of thousands, which of course you haven't got. You've got to decide how much electricity you're going to need to be off grid. So that's another issue. If by just buying a piece of land, then you've got the whole argument with the council. Then you've got to build a barn or whatever it is to appease them, or you go through the sovereignty thing, which of course that is then quite a fearful situation, and they may or may not listen and take your arguments on board. So that's another thing. So from our point of view, and because we've got well, Julie's got these two boys, of course, her children, we need more accommodation than if it was just Julia and I. So in an ideal world, really, if we were able to find a house on some large land, that would be a start. If we could find a derelict property on larger land, so that ultimately we could have some animals on there, that would be even better. And you try finding all of that with a water source. Electricity is not so important. We've been watching this chap who has gone, found a derelict property, but he's obviously got deep pockets, because he had the electricity. They had to put in a pole, an electric pole, in to bring the electricity across a field to him. And I imagine that wasn't cheap. So, you know, it's not an easy fix. And then, of course, you've got to just think about all those people who are, it reminds me back of COVID days, all those people who live in flats and they've got two or three children, and they, you know, they're out to work, so they're not indoors all day long. In the winter, on a bit of land, when it's wet and there's nowhere to go, that's when it becomes very testing, of course. So you need that space to be able to do your own thing, whatever that is. So there's a lot of things, and people say, oh, you know, why aren't you there? How's your land? You know, as if it's very easy. And of course, they haven't done it. So they, and presumably, I think a lot of them haven't even thought through the problems that we all take for granted. We take electricity, gas, the fact that the town is relatively close to us, that there's roads to it, that, you know, it's accessible, that you've got neighbours about, that you've got a little shop round the corner. We take so much for granted. When you do this, it's a huge step, and you want a community of people that you know and trust, not necessarily on your land, but nearby, so that when things go wrong, you've got somebody to call on. And if they're 100 miles away, they can't just drop everything and breeze over. So it ain't an easy thing, and that's why it takes a lot of time, as you can appreciate. But yes, it's nice, you know, this is the thing, when it gets into this beautiful weather that we've got at the moment, you just want to be out and about in the countryside and enjoying the life that we all ought to be living, and not one of these with all these different problems. But it's the problem solving that needs to be done to get to where you go. And of course, remember, I suppose it's the journey as well, isn't it? If everything is just put to you on a plate, you don't appreciate it. Whereas if you've had to, not fight particularly, but if you've had, if you've had to have a bit of hard graft, it's a lovely Julia in the background there, making herself even more beautiful than she is. You appreciate these things, and if you've had hardships and difficulties, you know, and of course, it's always very tricky when you're in the hard part of your life, to think, is it always going to be like this? And of course it isn't, because things happen. Things move on. People get older. People die. Things, you know, change. Circumstances. Even governments do change. Although this government and the previous government, let's not go into that. But we're at such an interesting pinnacle at the moment in the world that it does look very oppressive and dark. But actually, just the other side of the door, the light is shining through, and it's shining through brighter and brighter all the time. And people just need to realise that and help it, you know, open the windows. Instead of shutting themselves down and being fearful, they need to open the windows and let the light in, because that's the way we win this and we change things. So that might be something to talk about in my video, actually. Be quite good. Maybe a bit... esoteric. No, esoteric is hiding, isn't it? I can't remember what esoteric means. What does esoteric mean? I have to look that up. Anyway, thank you for listening. I may well go and have the first pipe of the day shortly. May do, may not. I've got to get this uploaded. Oh, I need to turn the internet on. More red penning today. Got an interview a little later on, so that would be nice to do. And I hope all is well and that you have a good day. Till next time. Thanks for listening. Toodle-pip.